You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back. I am rejoined by my co-host today, John Neiman, not only a CPA, but also a tax resolution specialist. So John, I know a lot of people won't immediately recognize, what is a tax resolution specialist? So give us brief background. What does that mean?
I work with taxpayers that owe the IRS for back taxes or non-filers. The reason it's a specialty, Doug, is because there are a lot of CPAs out there and tax attorneys that are very familiar with tax compliance, meaning filing a tax return, giving you advice on whether or not something is taxable or deductible.
Which you're an expert at that too. You've been doing that for many, many years.
Right. But that's all handled out of the Internal Revenue Code and everything that falls under the Internal Revenue Code. IRS collections and exam is a totally different animal. That operates out of the Internal Revenue Manual as opposed to the Internal Revenue Code. And that's got tens of thousands of pages on its own. It's another discipline entirely. That most CPAs aren't entirely familiar with.
Well, and I knew you were even a member of the American Society of Tax Problem Solvers.
Correct.
And you've gotten a lot of extra education to understand exactly how to deal with these because it is a specialty.
Yeah, I go to conferences at least twice a year. I get about at least 40 hours of continuing education every year just in tax resolution.
So what's a common scenario of how much tax debt somebody has that you deal with?
Well, I deal with people that owe a lot of money, generally over $50,000. And I do that for a couple of reasons. First of all, if you owe under $50,000, the IRS has programs that are available for the taxpayer to resolve the issue on their own using some kind of a streamlined agreement. The other thing is that I have to charge a fee for what I do because what I do is highly specialized, and I want my clients to get a return on investment.
And it's time-consuming, too.
It's very time-consuming, and most exchanges with the Internal Revenue Service, I won't say most, but many are contentious because, the IRS has one view of the way the case should settle. And I
contentious
quite often,
is a nice way to put it.
And I often disagree with them. But we always wind up with a solution that works well for my client.
Well, it's an interesting specialty because I've dealt with a lot of people. I have a lot of friends that were business owners and I've known a lot of people that got behind on their taxes. And what I find is they go into bury their head in the sand mode, which is probably how they got in that situation in the first place. I mean, they go a year where, they had somebody that was keeping their books that quit and they don't even know how they got left. And all of a sudden the next year goes by and the next year. And once they get a few years behind on filing the returns, now all of a sudden they don't even know where to start.
Right. I mean, they go 1 year and don't file a return and they say, maybe they won't notice, again, burying your head in the sand. The other way that people get behind is kind of the not filing and not paying kind of go hand in hand sometimes because the people that I deal with are largely those folks that aren't subject to their income is not subject to withholding. In other words, they own their own business.
Okay.
Or they're a subcontractor.
Well, they're 1099. So let's call it that. So they're not a W-2 employee.
Right. Where they own their own business, they have an S corporation or a partnership that they're a member of. And that income is not subject to withholding. And rather than make estimated payments, they choose to spend that money, on school supplies or childcare when they should be making at least quarterly estimated payments. When it comes time to file their tax return after the year closes, they realize they owe the IRS tens of thousands of dollars and haven't made estimated payments.
All right, so let's slow down on this just for a second because let's talk about some common professions because we see it. I deal with a lot of realtors, and pretty much all realtors are 1099.
Right.
They've negotiated that in with the IRS that they are self-employed. Many contractors are 1099.
Painters, drywallers, landscapers.
Right. Not in every case, but it's very, very common that they're 1099. All the way you said attorneys is
right.
Pretty common. So lots of different professions. It could be blue collar. It could be white collar.
Dentists, doctors.
Yeah. So many of them that are self-employed, where you're not getting a W-2 or they're withholding taxes right up front, you have to be disciplined. You have to be putting that cash aside from January 1st on. As you're making the money, you better be putting a portion aside and either prepaying to the IRS or putting it into an investment or savings account, right?
Right. And knowing full well that you're going to have to turn it over at some point. the other thing is that people should know is that there's nothing magic about a quarterly estimated payment. It's very easy to go into IRS.gov on their website and make a payment on a monthly basis. And if you're worried that you're ever going to fall behind, or if you're really worried that you're going to lack the discipline to make quarterly estimated payments, certainly get on IRS.gov and make monthly estimated payments to stay current.
Yeah. So what does somebody do? They're behind on their taxes, and I guess one quick question previous to that is, what's the percentage of people where it's income tax versus payroll tax are behind on?
Well, if you go based on the kinds of clients that I represent, it's about half and half.
Let's be specific. When we say payroll tax, frequently what that means is that you have a small business where you have a few employees and you weren't paying the payroll taxes on those employees.
Right.
They were W-2'd and you need to be making, you're pulling money out of their paycheck, or you're at least supposed to.
Yeah, the IRS takes a very dim view of failing to pay over or failing to make tax deposits.
And you can't write that off in a bankruptcy?
No.
That's going to follow you for at least 10 years.
That's going to follow you for at least 10 years. And the IRS, it really riles them for a couple of reasons. Is that, first of all, if you don't pay your payroll taxes, you have a competitive advantage over somebody who does pay their payroll taxes. Because you're taking what amounts to an unauthorized loan from the United States Treasury. the other way that they view it is that because you are entrusted to pay over the money that is withheld from your employees' paychecks. So not paying over your federal tax deposit is tantamount to stealing from your employees.
Yeah, so, that's a big deal. They don't look at that nicely. So. That's the payroll tax side. Then the income tax side is simply just that you've made income and you didn't make those estimated payments as you went. You didn't put the money aside. One way or another, you didn't pay it in. And sometimes it's because people – I think it's pretty common that there's a situation where they just haven't been organized enough to even file the returns.
Right. They're just not paying attention. And the other thing that you don't plan for, particularly if you're new to owning your own business, is self-employment tax. If you're not incorporated, you're going to end up having to pay self-employment tax, and that's flat 15.2% of whatever your net income is from the business. You may have paid in enough to cover the income tax on it, but you're not prepared for that self-employment tax.
And is it also pretty common that because somebody hasn't filed for a few years, the IRS files a return for you?
They'll often do that. Usually if after about 3 years, they won't wait more than 3 years generally, and they'll file a return for you. And guess what? If they'll take the worst filing status, single, and if you're married, they'll say that you're married filing separate. They include all the income that's been reported to them, but they give you no deductions regardless of whether or not they've been reported to the IRS.
All right, so the IRS files that return for you, and how long do you have to dispute that or get them to change that return?
Well, you should always get them to try to change. The IRS files what's known as a substitute for return, is what they call it, or an SFR. You should always try to file a return, an actual return.
Okay. So when somebody comes to you, and it's been quite a few years since they filed a return, they know their stuff's a mess. They probably have a shoebox full of receipts if they're even lucky, and a lot of them are faded now. And they have over a $50,000 debt with the IRS. What are their options on cleaning that up and getting those returns filed?
Do you
have things you help them with that?
I help do the accounting for them, to get their records in order. And if their records are not in order, then you can make reasonable estimates. There's no guarantee that the IRS is going to accept estimates for deductions.
And they could audit it,
yeah.
It's better to make reasonable estimates and get it filed than to not file at all.
Right. And if you're using estimates, you just need to disclose. And then once you determine how much tax is due, you determine whether or not you can pay it. And if you can't pay it with the tax return, then you work out an installment agreement with the Internal Revenue Service.
And that's a lot of the expertise of what you do that I think that the average consumer can't do, and that's working out these installment agreements with the IRS. So, John, I know that we're a little bit short on time, but I know there are people listening right now that could use advice in this area. And if so, what's the best way for them to reach you?
They can reach me through my email, john@neimanandcompany.com. My website is taxfixerstlewis.com.
All right, taxfixerstlewis.com. So, John, I'm going to make sure all your information is on our website also at smartwithyourmoney.com. Look for John Neiman, Tax Resolution Specialist. John, I know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to want to reach out to you after listening to this.
Doug, it's been a pleasure spending the Sunday with you.
Oh, I definitely appreciate it. So remember, becoming smart with your money is simple as listening every Sunday at 4 p.m., subscribing to our website at smartwithyourmoney.com, or by listening to our podcast, Smart With Your Money with Doug Haldeman. See you next week.